Well, some more animals from Scripture. Ah, now, who did we have last time? Molly. A donkey. And what was this donkey about? What was special about him, her? Go on, Molly.
He could talk.
That's unusual. And who did he rebuke by his talking? Somebody was on a mission. Not a very good mission, although it was turned around. Can you remember who he was? Stanley?
It was Balaam.
And he was going to go and curse the people of God. But the donkey, well, spoke as from God to him to restrain the prophet in his madness and to warn him through the donkey. And then God spoke to Balaam, "You must not speak beyond anything that I tell you." And when he got to the place where he was hired by the king of Moab to curse the people of Israel, instead, wonderful blessings poured forth from his lips. So there's one more animal. But we're now going to backtrack, right? We're backtracking in history. And we're going to find ourselves now at something called the Passover. The Passover. Now, what animal do we associate with that? Molly? A lamb. Or a young goat, but we'll stay with the lamb. A lamb. Do you know what happens to this lamb at Passover? Go on then, Molly.
It gets killed.
It gets killed. And where was the first Passover? Do you know that? When did it first happen? We're working Molly hard today. We're missing some, aren't we, here? Does anybody know where the first Passover took place? Looks like Molly.
Was it in Egypt?
It was in Egypt, absolutely that. This was when the people of God were slaves under Pharaoh and under Moses. Great plagues had been brought upon the Egyptians and they had been troubled by their rivers turning to blood and frogs and lice and flies and all manner of things coming down upon them. And this was the last warning to Pharaoh. This is going to really hurt if he doesn't listen. Because all the firstborn in Egypt, man and beast, would perish unless they were in a house and in a household where the blood of a lamb had been put on the doorposts and on the top part of the door, which we call the lintel. Unless their blood of a lamb was there, somebody was going to visit Egypt and would look for that blood. Do you know who that was? I'll pause while Grace confers. Mum is agreeing. I don't know whether she's disagreeing. Got an answer there, Grace? Okay. Go on, Molly.
Was it the Holy Spirit?
Well, good try there. Angel of Death, which was the representative of God, who was going to go through all of Egypt, and where that blood was not, then the firstborn in that house was going to die that night. So Moses warned the people of God, do what you're told. This lamb has got to be in its first year, and it has got to have no defect. And we have got to kill it in a particular way, put the blood where I've told you. And we're to eat this lamb, and we're to eat it in a particular way as well. And we've got to dress as though we're just about to leave, and we've got to eat it with kind of bitter herbs and things, and it's got to be cooked in a particular way. And we must eat it all that evening at twilight, not leave any till the next day. So we've got to do all of that. And if we don't, then we will find that God's going to visit us, and our firstborn will die. So they did that, didn't they? And of course, they were spared, and Pharaoh, his family, right down to the most kind of menial servant in Egypt, every firstborn in all those families died. And at that point, Pharaoh realized this was very, very serious, and he allowed the Lord's people to go, to leave the country, where they finally found their way to the promised land. So that lamb, oh, so special, that lamb. So, we're coming up to the sort of time when Passover was. Now, why have I not been negotiating with a farmer nearby to get a lamb that's a year old or so and have it up in the meadow here grazing? Why have I not done that, Stanley?
Because Jesus has died, and so we don't need sacrifice.
The Lord Jesus has died so that we don't need that sacrifice anymore. We don't, do we? Because everything that that lamb was going to supply for the Lord's people, the Lord Jesus Christ supplies. And he does it more than any lamb could ever do it, because they had to do it every year. So repeated every single year, they had to do that, and they had to do it in exactly the same way and follow the rule exactly. But the blood of a lamb is not enough, is it, to pay the price for a human life to be delivered? And for God to look upon their place and those people and say, because of that blood there, I will not be angry with them and bring my judgment on them, but I will spare them. A lamb doesn't add up to a human being. Ah, but the Lord Jesus Christ can. And for more than one, for as many as he will, for millions that he came for. And so we don't need any more Passover like that. We have a Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, well, this Passover lamb had to be without any blemish. And the Lord Jesus Christ was completely without sin, so that he could be the lamb that we need who takes away the sin of the world. How wonderful. Now, there's an animal that we have to think about that goes up and up and up and points again, as do so many of the creatures we've been thinking about, to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is going to do for us and the preciousness of his blood dying upon the cross that we might be forgiven and that God will look upon us and spare us, not bring his judgment, the second death upon us. So, have you found him yet? Is he for you the sacrifice that takes away sin? And you can think, well, like my life is like that door, and there's the blood of Christ covering it, and I'm safe here because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that you yet? Is that you? Because look, John the Baptist said, didn't he? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Have you looked to him and found that he has taken your sin away as well yet? Let's sing a hymn, 120. Great is the gospel of our glorious God, 120.